Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through here on GNCR, and we are continuing with a relevant study of the Book of Revelation in a fireside chat with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, as he responds to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Denation in part 24 of Understanding the Times.
If you look at the first letter, the letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus, you read at the end of that letter, that first letter, verse 7, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now you'll find that every one of the letters ends with that formula. It starts off in verse 7 by first saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear." It's followed by the next sentence, which says, "to him who overcomes." So we're going to look at those phrases, "he who has an ear" and "him who overcomes." Firstly, he says, "he who that has an ear," and it's followed by "him who overcomes." That is in Ephesus, the first letter. Now we go to the second letter, the church of Smyrna, and there we find in chapter 2, verse 11, at the end of the letter, he says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And the next sentence says, "He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." So we see the pattern is the same. He that has an ear, followed by he who overcomes. Then we come to the third church, the church in Pergamum. And there you find in verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that is followed by, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." Then we come to the church in Thyatira. And that is from verse 18 to verse 26. We find there, in verse 26, "To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now that's interesting. Here you find that there are three churches where the pattern follows a certain sequence. It starts off with "he who has an ear," and it's followed by "him who overcomes." That's the first letter. It's so in the second letter. It's so in the third letter. So there are three that have it in that order. "He that has an ear," followed by "him that overcomes." It's there. It's in hard and fast. Then suddenly you come to the fourth letter, and now the order is reversed. He starts in verse 26 with "him who overcomes," and he ends in verse 29 with "he that has an ear." So it's reversed. Is that just a slip of the pen, so to say? Did he forget the pattern that he was following, or what can we make of that? Well, let's go to the next church, the fifth church, the church in Sardis, chapter 3 and verse 5. "He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white." And it continues. Then he comes in verse 6. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So this pattern, this sequence, is exactly the same as the previous letter, the fourth one. So the fourth and the fifth are the same. Let's see if it continues. The next letter is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. There we read also in verse 12, chapter 3, him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and so on. It continues. Then he comes in verse 13 and he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We come to the last church, the church in Laodicea, and we see in verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, etc. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we find structurally, syntactically, John groups the first three letters together by first saying, he that has an ear, and then he who overcomes. And then he groups the last four letters together by first saying, he that overcomes, followed by he that has an ear. Now we can ask ourselves, is that just a coincidence, or was that purpose driven? Did he do that intentionally? Well, let's have a look then when it comes to the seven seals. In chapter 6, we read, the first seal is opened, and one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come, and there was a white horse. Then verse 3 says, the second seal was opened, the creature said, come, and there was a fiery red horse. Then we come to verse 5, the third seal is opened, the creature says, come, and there was a black horse. And then we see, verse 7 says, the fourth seal was opened, the fourth living creature said, come, and there was a pale horse. So now you had four horses. But then we come to verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they maintained. And then they're given white robes, and then they stand before the throne, and they are encouraged to wait a little bit longer until this persecution is completed. Then verse 12 says, he opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, the sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, the whole moon turned blood red, the stars in the sky fell, and so on. The sky receded like a scroll, we referred to this earlier, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place, and so on. That is the sixth one. And then we only find much, much, much later the seventh seal opened. There's a lot of interval going in between there. So, what did you have here? You had four seals, indicating four horsemen, and the next three, completely different. So there's a natural division between the four and the three. But interesting, with the seven letters to the seven churches, you had the first three that were constructed in a certain way, a pattern, and the next four, the pattern is reversed. So it's reversing something. Now that was chapter 2 and chapter 3. Now you come to chapter 6 with the seals and you find it's reversed. Now the first four are grouped together and the last three are different. So just like he turned the seven letters to the seven churches around in the last phrase by saying, firstly, he that has an ear, let him hear, followed by he that overcomes. He turns that around, he reverses it, it's, you know, somersaulted. And then he has he that overcomes first, followed by he that has an ear. So we can see that it's turned around. Now here again, you see it's turned around. The first four seals, you would have expected if he's following the same pattern, maybe the first three seals, or the first three horsemen rather, would be a group together and the next four. But he's reversed it. He's changed the pattern. But he doesn't alter the fact that the number seven is divided exactly between three and four, or four and three.
Pastor Greg, many of these conclusions that you draw from the book come from the literary design of the book and the structure. I'm just curious, where did you learn to study the book of Revelation in this way? Because this, as we've mentioned, it's not the popular way of presenting the book of Revelation. So do you have any sources that you were studying before you got all this?
Yeah, there were many sources. But what happened was, here at the mission where we are, we decided with a group of people that were gathering that on a Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we'll meet and we'll have a Bible study and we'll take the book of Revelation. And most of the information that we gleaned was what the people discovered. We looked at certain things, like we studied the seven letters to the seven churches, and we noticed, coincidentally, that there's a reversal of this pattern, and we asked what the significance of that was. We would get together. It was about an hour and a half. We would read the book. We would discuss it. We would look at what it says. People will go home, and they'll come back the next Sunday, and they say, but what about this, and what about that, and that. Now, some commentaries help because they pointed us in the right direction. They said we should be looking for a syntactical structure, and we did that. What helped me was my knowledge of the Greek. And they also said that it looks like there are things that are repeating themselves. So we found one commentator who mentioned the progressive nature of the unfolding of these things, that if you look at the end of every one, it looks like it's escalated. Then people commented. They started to see things. It went very slowly in the beginning, but then as we got the hang of it, we saw, wow, this is, I mean, I'm going to give you an example. In chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, we had to ask ourselves, if it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, is it a revelation that he gave, or is it a revelation of him? And we found that indeed both apply, because it says the revelation of Jesus, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Now, when this was written 2,000 years ago, it was said that must soon take place. So that told us we can't wait for it still to happen in the future. 2,000 years have already passed, so it must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything that he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So the people said, okay, so there are two things. The word of God is one thing, and the testimony of Jesus is the other. What does that mean? What is its significance? So we discussed it. And they said, well, the only word of God they had was the Old Testament in those days. So that would be the Torah, the law, the Nabiim, the prophets, and the Ketubim, the writings in Hebrew, the Tanakh. So that would be the Old Testament. And the testimony of Jesus Christ, that would be what would be the Gospels in the end. So it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we said, okay, so this deals with the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then we saw verse 4 says, John, I happen to notice in the Greek, Ioannes, made up of seven letters. Then it says, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Why only the seven? His name is made up of seven letters. And then it says, the seven churches. And then we saw, wow, grace and peace. There's two things, just like the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Three forms of the verb to be. That's three.
And that was Dr. Greg Dignation in part 24 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the Book of Revelation. Send us any questions you have about the Book of Revelation to the email address that will be given at the end of the program. Stay tuned for part 25, same time tomorrow, only on GNCR 93.6 FM.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.